This may be, but may be the most important hearing that this committee has conducted, at least in the 22 years I've been a member here. Over the last 10 years, trillions of dollars were poured into our mortgage finance markets, often with the encouragement of well-intended government programs. At first, the money backed conventional mortgages with standard down payments and properly verified incomes. Over time, however, the number of home buyers that met conventional loan requirements dwindled rapidly. In order to fuel the upward spiral, mortgage products became more exotic, requiring less of borrowers and involving more risk. Without regard for fiscal prudence and simple economics, bankers, investment bankers, mortgage brokers, realtors, home builders, mortgage bankers, and home buyers created the conditions that helped inflate the housing bubble. At the same time, Wall Street was developing ever more sophisticated financing vehicles to ensure that money continued to flow into the mortgage markets to meet the demand. Mortgages were pooled, packaged, and rated so-called investment grade by the credit rating agencies. They were then sold into a market eager to purchase securities with a wide range of risks and yields. Many purchasers employed massive amounts of leverage, layering risk upon risk in an effort to maximize return. To cover their risk, many of the buyers also bought credit protection from one another, entering into derivatives contracts with nominal values in the hundreds of trillions of dollars. All the while, our financial regulators appeared to be unaware as they sat on the sidelines. As early as July of 2003, here at the Banking Committee, I asked Chairman Greenspan, then Chairman of the Federal Reserve, whether he was concerned about the growing number of loans to borrowers with weak credit histories and the number of homeowners who spent more than 50% of their income on housing. I also asked him if he was concerned whether an economic downturn could lead to increasing delinquencies and foreclosures. Chairman Greenspan, at this very committee, assured us that increasing home prices provided an equity cushion for mortgagors and that lending to such borrowers would pose, quote, a rather small risk to the mortgage market and the economy as a whole. As recently as March of this year, Vice Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Cohn, in testifying for this very committee, assured us that the banking system was, and I'll quote his words, sound overall condition and that losses, quote, should not threaten their viability. Now, we now know that was not the case. Eventually, economic reality caught up with our housing market and housing prices stalled and then began falling. Many who bought homes with unconventional loans found that they were unable to afford their rising payments. Because home values were dropping, they were unable to refinance, and delinquency rates skyrocketed, as we all know. Once homeowners began defaulting, the value of mortgage-backed securities plummeted. Collateralized debt obligations, or we call them CDOs, that were comprised of the riskiest mortgage-backed securities became worthless. As a result, financial institutions holding securitized assets have suffered enormous losses and have been desperately trying to raise new capital. Of the five investment banks regulated at the beginning of the year by the Securities and Exchange Commission under its Consolidated Supervised Entities Program, two have failed. One was forced to merge with a bank, and the remaining two have now left the program to become bank holding companies. The recent demise of our investment banks lies in stark contrast to the vote of confidence we received in the Banking Committee from Chairman Cox in February of this year, when he assured us that the CSE program was up to the task, and I will now quote Chairman Cox. The purpose, according to Chairman Cox's words, the purpose of the CSE program is to monitor for and to act quickly in response to financial or operational weakness in a CSE holding company that might place regulated entities or the broader financial system at risk. The commission, that is the SEC speaking of, seeks to ensure that the holding company has sufficient standalone liquidity and financial resources to meet its expected cash outflows in a stressed liquidity environment for a period of at least 1 year. That was earlier this year. In late 2007, Mr. Eric Seri, head of market regulation for the Securities and Exchange Commission, described a consolidated supervision program that had, quote, demonstrated its effectiveness during the current credit market difficulties. Nothing can be farther from the truth. He likewise assured us that the SEC's consolidated supervision had achieved, quote, the goal of reducing the likelihood that weakness within the holding company or an unregulated affiliate will place a regulated entity or the broader financial system at risk. Notwithstanding assurances to the contrary, uncertainty about housing prices and the value of mortgage-backed securities have brought our markets to a halt. We're now facing the most serious economic crisis, as Chairman Dodd said, in a generation. So far, the Treasury Department and the Fed's response to the crisis has been a series of ad hoc measures. First came the bailout of Bear Stearns, which we were told was unavoidable. Then came Lehman Brothers, which was allowed to fail. And then just last week, the Fed and Treasury organized a bailout of AIG. I believe the absence of a clear and comprehensive plan for addressing this crisis has injected additional uncertainty into our markets and has undetermined the ability of our markets to tackle this crisis on their own. Unfortunately, the Treasury Department's latest proposal continues, I believe, its ad hoc approach, but on a much grander scale. The plan contemplates the purchase, as we know, of up to $700 billion in trouble, toxic mortgage-related assets from financial institutions that nobody would buy. Treasury expects, but is not required, to purchase most assets through a type of reverse auction process. There are very few details in this legislation. In fact, Treasury officials admit that they will have to figure out the mechanics as they go along. Rather than establishing a comprehensive, workable plan for resolving this crisis, I believe this legislation merely codifies Treasury's ad hoc approach. My hope is that this hearing will give us an opportunity to explore the parameters of the plan and why Secretary Paulson believes it will work. I also hope to hear why the plan does nothing to address the root cause of the crisis, the rising default rate on mortgages. While Wall Street banks get to sell their bad investments to the Treasury Department, homeowners will still be saddled with mortgages that they cannot afford. My record is very clear on taxpayer-funded bailouts. I have long opposed government bailouts for individuals and corporate America alike. As a young congressman, I voted against the loan guarantees for Chrysler, I believe, in 79 or 80. However, if the government is going to get into the bailout business, shouldn't we also be focusing our resources on average Americans, the taxpayers, rather than sophisticated and well-compensated Wall Street bankers? The Treasury's plan has little for those outside of the financial industry. It is aimed at rescuing the same financial institutions that created this crisis with a sloppy underwriting and reckless disregard for the risk they were creating, taking, or passing on to others. Wall Street bet that the government would rescue them if they got into trouble. It appears that bet may be the one that pays off. Once again, what troubles me most is that we have been given no credible assurances that this plan will work. We could very well spend $700 billion or $1 trillion and not resolve the crisis. Before I sign off on something of this magnitude, I would want to know that we have exhausted all reasonable alternatives, but I don't believe we can do that in a weekend. Unfortunately, the incredibly accelerated process for considering this bill means that Congress does not have time to determine if there are better alternatives or any alternatives to the Treasury's plan. I'm very concerned that the express need to pass something now may prevent us from devising a plan that would actually work. Without question, our markets and financial institutions need serious attention. I do not believe, however, that we can solve this crisis by spending a massive amount of money on bad securities. It is time for this administration and the Congress to do the work of devising as quickly as possible a comprehensive and workable plan for resolving the this crisis before we waste $700 to $1 billion of taxpayers' money.